We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, and we are doing verses 34 to the end of this section. And the big word in this section is repentance, and it's said many times, but there's also powerful examples of it in this section. And so if you start in verse 35, it says, "It is wisdom in me that my servant Martin Harris should be an example to the church in laying his money before the bishop of the church." And I just think, here is this man who lost the 116 pages, but long before that gave money to Joseph Smith many times and will continue to be asked by the Lord to give, and does over and over and over. And I just think, what an example of repentance. He could have been angry. He could have been bitter. He could have turned mad, which we so often do, and he didn't. He continued to walk with the church and to learn from his mistakes and continued to give his all. And I think, what a powerful example. Okay, but it does say in 39, "Let him," and it's talking about Martin Harris, "repent of his sins, for he seeketh the praise of the world." And who of us doesn't, right? This is such a good example to the rest of us. We do things, "Let not your right hand know what your left hand doeth." Do it because you're doing it for the Lord, because he asked, not because other people know. And it's something that God trains us our entire lives in the church: tithing, fast offerings, fasting, that we're not supposed to disfigure our face. I love that scripture. It makes me laugh so hard. But that we should do it with a cheerful countenance, that no one would even have a clue that we were fasting. And so I love this example because I think that is something we all struggle with, wanting other people to know the good we do. And so I love that. Okay, and bless Martin Harris's heart for all the good he did. He is most famous for losing the 116 pages. So I think that man has every good thought we can possibly give to him, and fame for all the good he did, he deserves, because holy cow. He is known for something that I'm sure he more than repented of and is to be a lesson for the rest of us. Okay, W.W. Phelps in verse 40. "Let my servant William W. Phelps stand in the office to which I have appointed him and receive his inheritance in the land. He hath need to repent, for I, the Lord, am not well pleased with him, for he seeketh to excel and is not sufficiently meek before me." Okay, 42, "Behold, he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven, and I, the Lord, remember them no more. By this ye may know if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he confesses and forsakes them." And Martin Harris did that. And I love this because I think seeking to excel means you want people to know you are brilliant and smart, but it's for the praise of man. So again, it's very similar to Martin Harris's, and it's something that we all struggle with on this earth and that we need to learn from. And thank heavens the church gives us that opportunity. One of the things that I really loved was verse 43. And that is the definition of repentance, that you confess and forsake. And also in 42, that the Lord remembers them no more. There was a point in time in my life, and I've told this to my seminary kids, where I kept going to different bishops confessing the same thing. And it was over the course of many, many years. And the first time, the bishop was so kind and just gave me a hug and so sweet. And I left, and within minutes, the thought came, he doesn't really understand. He doesn't really know. And then that kind of plagued me for years. And then I went again and went to a different bishop and said, and anyway, several times. And I think that's what Satan does, whispers in your ear and tells you you're not as good and that God's disappointed or whatever. But I can remember at one point in time, I had 3 children. And we lived back east, and I went in to do this again. It was probably the 4th or 5th time. And the bishop this time, who happened to be Elder Gong, stopped and said, "Tell me why you keep repenting of the same thing." And that's the first time someone had asked me, and I was just bawling. And I said, "Because I can't forget. It haunts me." And he said, Aaron, the scripture says the Lord remembers no more, not that you won't remember anymore. The Lord allows us to remember so we safeguard and don't make the same mistakes, or we safeguard our children so they don't get into the same situations. He provides us the opportunity to strengthen. And he said the guilt is swept away. That's the definition, is guilt is swept away, but that the Lord doesn't remember. And then he gave me a blessing. And in that blessing, he promised me that I would go days, and then I would go weeks, and then I would go months, and then years, and eventually I would forget. And that was so powerful. And I never had to confess again. It was just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. But I have heard that from my seminary students. And so it's really important that we teach that God allows us to remember. I love Alma the Younger because he tells his story over and over, and it's obvious the guilt is swept away. I am not that man anymore. I have changed. I am a different man. And I can't remember the quote, but Holland gave a talk using that. That is the man I was. That is not the man I am anymore. And I love that because we are allowed to change. And I'm sure Martin Harris would say, that's the man I was. That is not the man I am. And we would all do well to focus on who he became and how many times he was asked to give. So I just would say, as parents, to really emphasize the fact that it's God who doesn't remember. But one of the gifts is he allows us to, so that we strengthen ourselves and we don't make the same mistakes. Okay, I love in 45 that it talks about, for behold, they shall push the people together from the ends of the earth. And I love that because pushing is a force. And it just is that God is going to bring all of us together from all the ends of earth, all these different personalities, this big, huge melting pot, to make us all better, to learn from one another, to humble ourselves, to become more Christ-like. And it is a force, and it is his force because it's his plan. And I love that. And then in 47, let them preach by the way and bear testimony of truth in all places. Call on the rich, the high, the low, the poor to repent. And I love that because to me, that is exactly black, white, bond free. He's identifying every single person. It's for all. Okay. Jump down to, I think, 56. And let the work of gathering be not in haste nor by flight, but let it be done as it shall be counseled by the elders of the church. And I love that. There is a plan, and it has been God's plan from the beginning, and he will direct it. It is his church, and yes, it's human people, but he will direct. And it's not in haste, and it's not by flight. He will direct, and nothing is a mistake. It is all a plan. And it's so important we know that as we read this, but that they know that, because they will be asked and chased out again and again and again. And it would be easy to think, okay, did God not understand it wasn't going to work, that Zion wasn't going to work? 2 years from now, they're going to be leaving and crossing the plains again and sacrificing everything again. Let there be no doubt, God knew. And that will be Zion eventually. And so I really love that. Okay, go to 59. Let no man return from this land except he bear record by the way. So again, missionary work. Gather all. That force, that pushing, bring them all in. 60. Let that which has been bestowed, so back to this repentance theme, upon Ziba Peterson, be taken from him. Let him stand as a member in the church and labor with his own hands with the brethren until he is sufficiently chastened for his sins, for he confesseth them not and thinketh to hide them. And the thing that really touches me there is I think we all get into this mode where we think we can hide our sins from God. And really that's Satan who convinces us that it will be painful to go to the bishop and confess them. And I remember at one point thinking, I don't want to give Satan even an inch of power over me. So I am going to go the minute this starts to bother my conscience so that I can just free myself of it. And really, we're supposed to get really good at repenting. And then Satan doesn't have that power and control over us. So he thinks he can hide them. Quick hide. We can't. And that is one of the lies Satan teaches. And one of the quickest things we need to learn is that is a lie. And the freedom that comes from confessing and pairing with God to work through and forsake our sins and become a new person, a better person. And I do love that that it's going to take time. And Ziba Peterson, however you want to say it, is going to have to humble himself and get to a point where he really wishes he had accepted that calling and wants it again. And I've done that before. I have prayed before and begged that I wouldn't get a calling. And this is what it brought to mind. And for 6 months, I was not given a calling. And I started praying, thinking, why haven't I been given a calling? And the thought came, because you are begging not to. The one I had in mind, you are begging not to. So I answered your prayer. And it was a humbling for me to go, I really want a calling. Please, can I have a calling? And so it really sat and reminded me of that in my own life. So it seems very human, all of this, and relates very well to me. Okay. 63, back, preach the gospel by the way. And then 64, verily the sound must go forth from this place into all the world, to the uttermost parts of the earth. The gospel must be preached to every creature, with signs following them that believe. And I love that, signs following them that believe. That is miracles. And I love saying to my class members, have you ever gone on a trip? Have you ever gone anywhere and played Spot the Mormon? It is not hard to tell them that believe. And I wouldn't even say Spot the Mormon, Spot the Christian. It is not hard to tell, because light comes from their countenance and miracles follow, and they pair with the Holy Ghost, and light cleaveth to light. And it's not hard to tell. Anywhere you go, you can tell. And I love that. So it's just one of those great things that God has made. It's not hard to tell who people are following, and it comes out in their countenance, whether you want it to or not. No man can serve two masters. So I love that. And then 65, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. So I just love this example of repentance and changing, and Martin Harris, bless his heart for how much he gave for our church, and all of these people we read about who sacrificed so much. Just love that, and the example to all of us to keep trying to get really good at repenting and striving to be who the Lord needs us to be. That's the whole key. And the reward comes in the next life. And great will be our peace when we're up there knowing we did what we needed to do, all that God has asked us to do, in humility, knowing we have more refining to come, but that we took our time, that we didn't waste the days of our probation. And I just want to read this quote in the handbook. The kingdom will continue to increase and grow and spread and prosper more and more. Every time its enemies undertake to overthrow it, it will become more extensive and powerful. Instead of decreasing, it will continue to increase. No unhallowed hand can stop the work from progressing. Persecution may rage, mobs may combine, armies may assemble, calumny may defame, but the truth of God will go forth boldly, nobly, independent, till it has penetrated every continent, visited every clime, swept every country, sounded in every ear, till the purpose of God shall be accomplished, and the great Jehovah shall say, the work is done. What an awesome thing to be part of it. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.